bum 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 bum.
Mr. Sandman.
Yeah, it's foreshadowing.
Bring me a dream.
For later.
Boom, boom, boom.
You're the sweetest.
Is it though, Lydia? Is it though?
I feel
like this whole movie has just gone over my head.
I've had a few jokes go over my head in this movie.
I feel like my head's underwater with this movie.
Yeah, da, 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 da. Big Sep specifically says, hey, I trust Tommy. I don't trust you. Because, you know, Tommy is like, you know, just the courier in this.
Yeah, he's a professional.
Yeah, though. But he's a professional.
He's been doing it for years.
Yeah.
3 days away from retirement.
Essentially.
So the mom is screaming and Lori and Cool Whip, Miracle Whip are trying to like calm her down. And she's like, I'm calling the police. And the grandma, Nana, is just like, she's chain smoking in front of the TV. And she's just like,
keep it down.
Yeah. Oh, she's like, the granddaughter's trying to like get her away. And she's like, we should stay at this other hotel. And she goes, I only need the 2 C's, a cot and a crapper, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
I was like, I love you, Nana.
Yeah.
I love you so much. And so she's refusing to leave. The mom gets on the phone to call the police and she gets the operator. And she's just like, I need the police. The police. You know, policia.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like, yes, yes, policia. And I'm like, no one would not be able to make that jump.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just, it's not that different of a word. Why? I don't know.
I feel like the movie's trying to give me social commentary. Emphasis on the word try.
Yeah, I chalk it up to more white people nonsense.
And also, so Joe Pesci was at the airport because Steve has a pilot's license.
Yes.
That's important for the moment. I guess it's important anyways.
It's important because it means they can, I don't know why they don't have, if you fly out of the country, you still have to go through customs.
Mm-hmm. But Joe Pesci knows how to get through customs.
Well, that's true.
So
they take a plane. They just happen to be able to access a plane.
Right. They are, like, at some point, I think they know that they're at the hotel, like where they're at. Because they change it up from meeting in San Diego to going to the hotel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that was done via a phone call situation. Miracle Whip goes to rent a car.
And he rents a car because he's going to take the heads to the border and just turn everything in because he doesn't trust the police in the immediate vicinity. He doesn't trust the local police.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't trust the Mexican police.
Yeah.
And this movie reinforces that stereotype as being accurate, because if he had taken the heads in, he would have been arrested because of what goes on with his, you know, potential future father-in-law.
Yeah. But when he goes to rent a car, he finds the Jeep is being rented.
Mm-hmm.
And then he proceeds to be like, hey, this is our car. And the rental guy's like, no. And he goes, this magazine was our magazine. And he's all like, if you like that magazine so much, if you rent this Jeep, I'll throw it in for free.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ends up renting the Jeep, but like, I feel like he's never going to give it back.
Right.
If I had to rent my vehicle from somebody, I'd pay cash and I'd never give it back.
Yeah. I'd be like, no, this is mine. I still have the title for it.
Mm-hmm.
So
the other bad guys show up. Oh, in order to stop the mom from going through with calling the police, Lori knocks her out with a metal vase.
Yeah.
The grandma, Nana, sees it and doesn't care.
Yeah.
But the mom also thinks she just passed out.
Mm-hmm. Because she, like, after Charlie gets the Jeep back, we cut back to the mom waking up.
Uh-huh.
And the head guys are, the head guys come into the town or to the local airport. And then they see Joe Pesci showing up with Steve and Ernie. Oh, and so they follow him because then suddenly Joe Pesci's at the hotel and
walks into the room and now they're all kidnapped.
And Nana talks back to him. He's like, who the fuck are you? And she's like, who the fuck are you? And I was like, this was like missed opportunity.
Yeah.
She could have very easily been like, oh, these are actually heads. And you're probably like, were you the one who, like, you know, killed them? And like, just like a simple conversation between the two of them probably would have like solved a lot. Like maybe Big Sep is like her protege.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Something could have made this a little less dry, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
Grounded.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we can cut through a lot of this. They're kidnapped. The mom is like, I gotta lay down. She climbs in the back of the van.
Yeah, because they get everybody in the hotel room, which is Lori, the mom, the grandma. And then you have Steve and Ernie and Bill, Tommy, they all go into the van.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the mom was like, I need to lay down. And
I don't know what she was expecting, but she lays her head down on the duffel bag she's already seen and is scared of.
Mm-hmm.
And a head pop. Oh, well, maybe she does. So she does think that Miracle Whip has
heads.
The heads.
Right.
So maybe she wasn't expecting there to be more heads.
Right.
But I wouldn't trust any duffel bag at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so a head pops out and she screams.
Right.
And like,
And when she gets back up front, she says, it reminds me of a guy I used to date named Hugo. And then Tommy and Joe Pesci and David Spade's character, like, high five each other.
Yeah, because.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, we got it. Because she says the guy's full name.
Uh-huh.
And then Joe Pesci's character knows that that's one of the guys that they needed.
Oh, or is that like one of the I thought it was the name of the body that they stole.
No.
Oh, no.
It was the name of one of the guys who had originally got killed. So at the very beginning, there's like all these different guys that get killed. One of them is named Hugo. And then the mom says, that looks like a guy I used to date, yeah. Hugo Peretti or something.
Yeah.
And that's when they high five each other. That takes me back to my original comment about the mom reliving trauma.
Yeah, because she might have been involved with somebody involved in the mafia.
Yeah, and maybe she has seen these dead parts before. Maybe it's like, we don't know anything that happened. And which kind of leads me into why Nana wasn't a mob boss, because then that would have explained why the mom didn't like Nana. Because the mom didn't like Nana because she knew that she was up to some shady stuff.
Uh-huh.
And she just, like, the mom knew stuff. It was just like, it could have made everything feel a little bit more, less like, you know, like, blue, 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 and more like rounded, like you said.
Yeah.
It makes the world feel less random and makes it feel more coherent.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. But let's have Pesci be cussing about something, and then Grandma turns and she's chain smoking in the van, which I think is hilarious. And she goes, hey, watch your f***ing mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pesci is just sick of it, and he opens up the van door and he throws Nana from the train,
from the van.
I know, but
yeah,
she throws off of a cliff.
And I was like as he's like going to, you know, throw her out of the van, she's like, you don't mess with me. And I was like, like, and this would have been a great time to reveal, if you mess with me, then Big Sep's going to cut you off or something like that. She's starting to hear names. She's putting two and two together. It would have been a great moment for her to drop a name. And then suddenly Joe Pesci's character is like, oh, shit. And she's like, now, if you're going to go ahead and actually listen to me, I can get you out of this mess. That sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been good. But my notes just say she totally isn't dead.
Right.
I refuse to believe Nana's dead.
Yeah, I noted that I wanted her to, I want her to live, to be part of a mafia family. Like, you know, that was the whole thing. Like, she would live and then it would be revealed that she was a mafia family, but they didn't do that. Spoilers for this movie.
Let's cut to the red Jeep. He's gotten coolers and filled them with ice and put the heads in there and then put ice over the heads. And then he puts two cans of Coke and one single sad looking sandwich in the and that's how he's going to transport them heads.
I don't know why. I just think that's really funny that he hides the head. So he's putting the heads underneath the ice and then he puts two specifically placed cans and then a sandwich in between.
Single sandwich.
Single sandwich. It does not like road trip. I don't know why, but like, it's just so unrealistic. It makes me laugh. Yeah. And I don't know why.
I don't know either.
There's so many things in this film that are so unrealistic.
Oh, like him getting pulled over by, he's like fixing the coolers and the gang from before out in the desert shows up again.
Right. So he's driving on the road and there's just a guy in the middle of the road.
Yes, with a handout.
Yeah. And he stops and it's the guy It's the gang from earlier.
Yeah, so he gets his Jeep nabbed.
And they're like, we're going to take your car. And my thought was like, okay. And then just like be like, yeah, feel free to take it. Because then the heads are their problem.
Right, but that's not what happens. They obviously crack the coolers.
Right, they have to like, you know, do a show of force. Like, oh, we're going to, oh, sorry. They say they're going to take off his cojones.
Oh, is that what he's saying?
Yeah. And then he's like, well, let's flip a coin for it. I was like, what's the purpose of flipping a coin? And because like he like the whole like, again, this moment could have just been cut altogether. And you could have gotten moment where Nana is like revealed as mafia boss. And it would have felt better.
Yeah,
then
probably.
This random moment in the scene where he's getting carjacked and then they take like a few minutes to go ahead and do this flip of a coin thing.
Yeah, but I guess he wins or whatever.
Yeah, but like it feels like they're like they flip the coin and they're like and he's like call it and he's like heads and he's like you didn't even think about it. Are you sure? And he's like I've never been more sure in his life. The coin isn't like a double-headed coin.
Heads. Why would he pick anything other than heads?
The look on Lydia's face right now.
What's that? I'm calling it. I'm just going to close my book right now.
No. Oh, you scared
gonna
the
get
cat.
Up. Gonna get up. Gonna walk out the door. Going up the stairs, y'all. I'm going up the stairs.
Lydia, no, come back. Come back. Oh, I'm blind, so I didn't realize that you were just hitting your book and pretending to leave the room.
This is more immersive than this film.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they drive away in the Jeep. They obviously look in the cooler. The Jeep stops. They like very, again, yakety sacks. They jump out, right? And he starts running over and he's all like, sweet, right? They're like, oh no. And they run and they should go to the cops, but they're not going to. But he's like, hey, no. And he knows the guy's name somehow.
Yeah.
Is it Jose or something like
Juan
that? Juan.
I think what he calls him.
Yeah. He's like, Juan, don't take the keys. Juan. And then he's like sitting there and he's flabbergasted. He hears squeaking and he's like, what the? And he starts looking around. And somehow in like 15 seconds, a coyote has jumped in the back of the Jeep, stolen a head, and starts running away with it. Okay. So then guess who pulls up?
The van. Oh, but before the van pulls up with everybody in it, they have a song playing. Do you know what the song is that they're playing?
No.
Bum 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 bum.
Mr. Sandman.
Yeah, it's foreshadowing.
Bring me a drink.
For later.
Bum bum bum. You're the sweetest.
Is it though, Lydia? Is it though?
I thought it should.
I feel like this whole movie has just gone over my head.
I've had a few jokes go over my head in this movie.
I feel like my head's underwater with this movie.
Yeah, da, 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 da.
It's giving me a splitting headache.
There's a few people who will never get very, very far in life. Sorry, is a very ahead in life? I messed that up. Never mind. I'm not going to say
ahead
it.
In life?
There are a few people in this world. No. There are a few people in this movie that aren't going to get very ahead in life.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, at least like 12.
Okay.
Because they have the 8 and then they have 4 later. Never mind.
Well, the life part is certainly off of it. Somebody says, are you talking to me?
Oh, like we start seeing the sanity of Steve like degrade further and further down. And I think he's talking to the head. It's the head that he was so passionate about.
Yeah, he keeps like there was one point where he was making all those head jokes that we've stolen and littered this podcast with.
Mm-hmm. And then Bill sees Charlie and the van pulls over and Charlie's like, yeah, I got the heads, but one's missing. And then they go trekking in the desert looking for the coyote.
Someone does mention that like those heads all had hopes and dreams and Pesci's dismissive of that. And then he leaves all of them in the desert with the broken, with the keyless Jeep.
Right. So when Charlie and Tommy go into, Joe Pesci, go into the desert together,
mm-hmm.
Charlie, they have a heart to heart where, you know, Joe Pesci's right. All like, oh, it's just a job. And Charlie's like, they all had hopes and dreams. And
if it changes anything, I was going to retire after this one.
Right. And
they're chasing the coyote with the head.
They're chasing the coyote with the head. And then Tommy sees, or Joe Pesci's character sees the head guys. And then they kind of get down. And that's when Charlie Charlie mentions, like, well, if you were so good at planning, there was a gift shop near the airport terminal. So why didn't you just get two bags?
And Pesci, like, slaps his forehead or something like that.
Something like that. He's like, oh, maybe this kid's got some bright ideas. And that's when they start hatching a plan.
Yes. I didn't realize they were hatching a plan. But, like, I'm super down.
Coyote still has the head.
Yeah, that's just hilarious, I think. But they've got extra heads, so what does it really matter? And so Pesci drives off. We don't know the plan, but everyone's frustrated that they've got this Jeep with no keys. Pesci ends up at a motel not too far away, we assume, and he starts unpacking the bag of heads. Mm-hmm. He's got 9 heads with him.
The head guys have followed him.
Mm-hmm. They're parked outside the motel.
Right. And so when Joe Pesci is putting them up, he like opens up the blinds. You can very clearly see them.
They look at him. He looks at them.
Yeah. And so he positions the head. So it looks like he has all of the heads, but they can't see the faces.
They do say, how many heads has he got? Oh, he's got 8.
Mm-hmm.
But like he's also picking and choosing. Like he starts naming the ones that he knows and he pulls out. And then he plucks out
one with no hair.
And he's like, oh, no, he totally had hair. It wasn't a baldy, and drops that head back and picks out another one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's folks we know, folks we don't know. All the heads are lined up.
Right. And then the people who are stranded on the side of the road, they find the coyote.
Yeah.
That's why they're okay. So instead of just like hot wiring the car, which they do later on.
Yeah.
They go off and they get the coyote and get the head back. And then I put in my notes, that coyote no longer has a head or a life because they're roasting it on a spit.
Yeah, they're roasting the coyote. Like, you have only been out of civilization, so to speak, for like 3 hours, a half a day, 6 hours max.
Right.
Maybe.
So they have the head and Lori, the, you know, car driver, is like, knows how to hotwire a car, but she can't do it.
Because she races the cars.
Right. But she can't do it because it's dark. And so it's like she's like, I got my last match. And so she lights it and then Steve coughs.
Yeah.
And then they're pretty much stuck there.
I think she could have done it in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think it would have been that much of a problem.
Right.
But I've also noted in this scene that the mom and Steve are perfect for each other.
Yeah. They're both kind of crazy.
I ship them.
Yeah.
I ship them together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 15 minutes left in the movie.
Oh, good, because I have exactly 3 lines of text in my notes because I am done.
Do you know what scene comes next?
I think I entitled it Breakfast, Bullets, and Paco.
Before that.
Oh, no.
You don't remember the scene?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so Joe Pesci is asleep and we see the heads.
Sorry, I have 5 lines left.
Okay.
I call it nightmare sequence.
Yeah. So Joe Pesci's asleep in the bed and we see the heads on display.
Yeah. He opens his eyes and looks at them.
Yeah. And then what happens?
They start to bum, 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 bum.
Do you remember when Glee came out and they had that whole thing where they were doing a cappella Journey?
No.
When first season of Glee, when it came out, became such a huge part of the reason why Glee was so big was because they had this moment where they were doing acapellas. They were doing a cover of Journey's Don't Stop Believing in acapella.
Mm-hmm.
This movie predates that.
Oh.
So acapella heads singing Mr. Hitman. And then the headless bodies come tearing through the hotel walls to get Joe Pesci.
I remember at one point Pesci says, I didn't kill these guys.
Yeah, true, he didn't. But it still doesn't mean that this whole, how can I get debacle? Headacle? No. I'm trying to make a pun. It's like he's so stressed out by this whole thing.
It's like a brain twister.
Just can't keep a level head.
Not good at puns, which means that D&D is... I love puns. I'm just not very good at them.
No, it's fine.
Our D&D group is going to suffer for it.
Fine.
Did you know that you can flip a canoe over and fit it perfectly on your head? Because it's capsized.
Yeah, it was at this moment where this dream sequence came in and I was like, what?
I was officially like, I have no idea where they're trying to take me with this. But that part is kind of the, it's probably the best part of the movie.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong. It was, I mean, like, in a, there has been so many random things in this movie. This is the most random. And, like, I feel like the people who wrote the screenplay were competent. In at least.
I feel like they were, but they showed no evidence of it.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, now it's time for breakfast, bullets, and Paco.
Correct. So they get, so Bill goes back to the hotel.
Tommy.
Sorry. Yeah. He's Bill in my notes because that was the first name.
That's right. Noticed. Okay. Yeah. Pesci.
For all of the people who are listening to just part three, you know, after years of us being here, Joe Pesci goes to the hotel. He grabs some breakfast. Paco's there. And then the head guys show up and they get an adjacent table.
Yeah, they're going to kill him as soon as he leaves or something.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're being so hesitant. They've been so, like, flashy and whatever, and it's only Paco.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and obviously, you know, sounds of bullets getting fired don't travel that fast because Joe Pesci fired his bullet earlier in the film, and nobody came to the house, and they had to have been there for a very long time because they left to go get heads. And then they came back to the frat house.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, this is where the science breaks down for me.
but Miracle Whip shows up with the ladies and Steve and whatever. And Spade, I guess, is with the whatever. But then he pulls a gun on them, on the guys.
Right. He takes the duffel bag with the heads in him.
Okay. And then he heads to the airport because he's going to do the whole handing it over to the police. Yeah. There. Oh, I'm sorry, right. If you didn't understand what I said. The police there. And then he's going to, okay, so he kind of like drags them all there and the guys make a play to get the bag back.
Right. And when they get to the airport, Charlie just sort of waits until the head guys are like right behind him. And that's when he heads into the airport and he has something to declare.
I declare, it felt like Michael Scott in The Office being like, I declare bankruptcy.
Yeah, but before he's like, I declare. And then the head guys are like, no, 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 that's ours. And he's just like, you should check it. There's a head in that. Like,
he doesn't have anything to declare. That's not his bag. And he starts to walk away with it.
Yeah. And then that's when Milk Toast Man goes ahead and.
Do you mean Miracle Whip?
Miracle Whip, something like that. He goes ahead and says it's their bag. It's got a head in it. You need to check that bag because it's got a head in it. And so they're looking through it. And you can clearly see that there's like clothes in it and everything. And there's only one head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
but that's enough.
And here's the thing. It's the head with no hair. And then the guys in who the head guys say, no, 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 that's not one of the heads. None of the heads that we had had hair.
None of the heads we had no hair or something like that.
Yeah.
He just admits that they have other heads with hair.
And so there's this whole big like.
And that's more like dum, 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 dum.
That joke was better than the dream sequence.
Well, we do see in the chaos that ensues, we do see Pesci like do that boot scoot of the heads through the metal detector like before.
That's what he was doing. It was what he was doing at the beginning.
And again, the first airplane sequence. And then apparently there is no interest in the guy who was fighting the airport cops.
Because he just walks right out and he like is tying his shoe next to Joe Pesci, who's tying his shoe.
Who then gives him his book back.
Yeah.
And they both like give each other the nod.
Ugh.
And then Pesci goes and puts his bag on the plane. And okay, so then the lorry comes out and is standing next to him. And, okay, if you want a pun that really does ruin the whole day,
mm-hmm.
He's holding his script or whatever, and she looks at him, and she looks over at Pesci, and Miracle Whip goes, sleight of bag.
Sleight of hand, sleight of bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it stinks.
Yeah. But it's okay, because Lori apparently has gotten over her disinterest in Charlie, and they've
made up. Oh,
they're
that big kiss that makes no freaking sense. There's no intimacy building. There's no him changing himself. There's just a kiss.
So there's that thing where, like, trauma can bond people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that feels like.
Also, trauma plus time equals comedy is a thing. And
tragedy plus time.
Yeah, both mm-hmm. of those. Both of those are the same thing to me.
Yeah.
And I haven't had enough time with this movie. Madeline, I love you and I'm so sorry.
I feel like that's what we always say when Madeline picks a movie.
And yet she gets the most listens.
Is it Madeline? I thought it was Sean.
It's Sean.
Oh, but then second.
Yeah. and then we have like the end credits.
No. Steve runs first.
Oh, that's right. Steve, all the while in the airport, Steve has this head that he's been holding on to, the mm-hmm. one that he spent so much time with.
Mm-hmm.
And he just is, while everything's going on inside the airport with the head
he's
guys.
He's just chasing people with his head.
And like, look, it's a head. Look, it's a head.
People are screaming, falling all over themselves.
Right. And he just freaks out. And
a policeman is now chasing him. As he's running across the field, he's yelling a whole bunch of stuff. Do you notice both of his shoes fall off?
No.
I thought it was true to life. Once I had to chase after a child with, and I had flip-flops on, but it was like life or death.
Mm-hmm.
And I started running as fast and as hard as I could up a gravel hill.
Oh.
And my flip-flops flew off, but I was like,
you have to get the kid.
I have to get the kid. And so I remember the trope of having your shoes fall off while you're running is mm-hmm. an actual thing to me. So that's fine. He goes, the last line is, he's my best friend. And
yeah. Why?
I don't know, because the dead head is like the most sane thing that has happened to this man in the last 48 hours.
Trauma
creates intimacy.
That's why we're so close, right, Jen?
Oh, yeah, probably.
I love you so much.
But could you imagine him, Steve, just as Daffy Duck? Just imagine Daffy Duck in that scene carrying around a head and going, woo!
I'm sorry, Jen. I was watering my fish and I didn't hear that. Could you do that noise again?
No. I mean, it might be physically impossible. I think I'd expunged as much high pitch as I can.
Steve has been established as such a wet blanket that for him to have this like literal. Like freak out, yeah, running
mental breakdown.
Yeah, that's supposed to be so slapstick and funny. Just it hits weird.
It does, because like Lori's mom is obviously dealing with stuff with mm-hmm. the heads. Like she has a legitimate freak out too. But what is it when Charlie grabs the heads at the hotel? Mm-hmm. Paco shows up and he's like, Mr. Pritt, and then he sees the gun and he says. That was a great moment. But he takes and then he takes Paco into the car and the mom is just comforting Paco. So,
yes, I like that too.
Yeah.
Oh, another joke that we missed telling you guys about Applauders is that when Nana's thrown from the van, mom goes, I never thought it would happen. I mean, I dreamed about the day, but I never thought she'd actually be dead.
I never thought that the old battle axe would kick it.
Right. And then when he drops them off on the side of the road, she goes, I just want to thank you again for killing my mother-in-law.
And he's like, it's normally $5,000 for a hit, but I'll just say that you owe me one.
Yeah, I guess so.
Something like that. Yeah.
But now you can go to the end sequence.
And then we come to the end credits.
Yeah. And we have a kind of follow up. So there's we cut to 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, there are 6 end photos.
Right.
And it's kind of like video to still. So you get like 2 or 3 seconds worth of video. One is of a wedding.
Yeah. Charlie and Lori apparently got married. Ugh.
And all but 2 of these pictures. So 4 of these 6 pictures happen at that wedding. So Lori and Milk Toast.
Wonder Bread.
Miracle Whip. Wonder Bread.
Cool
Milk
Whip.
Toast. Cool Whip.
I like Cool Whip, by the way.
I do, too.
It's fake whipped cream, but I like it.
And it stands up, like, for a while. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't melt like spray whipped cream.
Yeah. But, so we have Lori, Charlie, Lori's parents.
So they cut to the gringo, I think it's 406.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tattoo on the back of her dad's head at the wedding.
Okay, so like the tattoo, unnecessary, but George Hamilton with a shaved head, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, and that's a really good prison tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
So then we've got body cast Nana with mm-hmm. her slim, or with her Virginia Slim, just yelling something.
And I'm glad that she's alive. She's
super glad she's
vinegar,
alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, still, like, she's in a body cast and she wasn't a mafia boss.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Steve's there and he's obviously still really messed up, but at least he made it to the wedding.
Yeah.
That's number four. Number five is operating room door swings open. Spade steps through in scrubs and he almost drops a brain.
Yeah. Doesn't make me feel very comfortable.
He's like, whoop. And I'm like, great. He's a neurosurgeon, but he should have ended up being a hitman.
Yeah.
But the last thing is a woman's torso with a bikini top on.
Yeah.
And Pesci straight to camera, raising a glass and like lifting his head back and being like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Because he retired.
End.
Yeah. Credits. End. Nothing big
no,
going on.
No, except
the
for that Terry J. Vaughn.
Amazing.
Not listed in the credits.
No.
Okay. So.
That's it. I think we're done. We don't have any more Sean facts, so.
So we have to shock and applaud it, though.
Yeah. I mean, not unless anybody has any other thoughts before we get to that.
No,
I really don't.
Yeah.
I'm just too headstrong.
I just want to hit anybody over the head with this movie.
We should just get right into Shocked and Applaud going head first.
Yeah.
Jump into that head first. Yeah. Or if I really want to make it bad, then I can go ahead and say, well, then I guess we just should jump into Shocked and Applaud feet first. It's the opposite of head.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's bad. Should we talk about our shocks and then our applauds? Should we switch it up and talk about our applauds? I got good news and I got bad news for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So my shocked moment is just the emotional whiplash that I got from this. Because like I was jonesing for this movie the first 20 minutes in because it was well put together. They knew what they were talking about. Set up. And I was like, yeah, I see where all of this is coming from and everything. And then literally 20 minute mark, I see Naomi and I'm like, Naomi, I really think I like this film. This is like, it's well put together. You know, I think I'm going to really enjoy it. The jokes are landing, you know, it's got some comedy beats to it. And then literally 7 minutes later, we got that moment where Charlie has his hand over Lori's mouth and Paco does nothing. And I was like, never mind. And then it's just is up and down ever since. And I was just like, I don't know how to feel about this movie. I feel like there's a head joke that I could make right now if I was clever, but I'm not. Not in puns. I'm not very punny.
You make a heady argument.
Thank you.
A decent shocked moment. I think my shocked moment is that, okay, and you're going to think that I'm making this like a head joke, but like it's not. It's just that I was in a mood today. I didn't want to do anything. So when I started watching this movie, I was like, I don't think I'm in the right headspace for this. And then I watched the whole movie and I was like, okay, even when I don't particularly like a film, I generally find something I like about it. That's the whole point of what we do. But I was like, if Madeline said I was going to enjoy it, I'm pretty sure I'm going to enjoy it. But I think I enjoyed it less because I watched it basically alone. And I had to take notes. That's just kind of how it goes. But like, I was like, would I have enjoyed it more if I'd had popcorn and it was late at night instead of the middle of the morning? And if I had watched it with Madeline and Sean, would I have enjoyed it more? Because that often increases my enjoyment of any film. And so like, I was a little shocked at myself because I got very... Not, I mean, the things that we point out at time and time again, like the racist stuff, the ableism stuff, the sexist stuff, like those are things we often point out and don't necessarily deter me from liking a film. But today it kind of did. I was like, okay, I'm good. But I think maybe, I mean, I'm not super like on it, but I could do a rewatch of this.
But with the right people?
In the right headspace, mm-hmm. like casually.
Yeah.
How about you, Jennifer?
Thank you for using my full name. I like that. I think that there was a lot of setup for Paco without any real delivery. Like, I felt like he was going to be like a Federales or something like that, you know? And he just ended up being a snoopy person, which, I don't know, wasn't the greatest. There were, I guess, a few places where it did feel like, as you said, Lydia, there's some setup that just sort of falls flat on its head.
Which is interesting because they do a lot of like planting and payoff. So you would figure that some of these like beats that were set up would have had some follow through.
Do you think do you think that the follow throughs ended up on the cutting room floor?
No, the heads did.
I saw that one coming.
What about an applaud moment?
You know, it's the budget. I can't believe this was made for $3 million. Like, I can, but like part of the, I wonder how much that's like, because it's on location in Mexico, Jen. Come on. You can get things really cheap there, including talent. But I don't know how racist that sounds. So I'll just say, yeah, the fact that this, it felt like a Hollywood film. Maybe not the greatest comedy. On IMDb, I think I read some description that said it was a black comedy. It's not a black comedy. There is not enough sort of undertone of seriousness. It's a comedy of errors.
You mean like dark comedy?
Black comedy, dark comedy.
Are they interchangeable?
Yeah.
Okay.
So as far as, I mean, it is a subgenre of, this is not, you know, just a regular comedy. This is you have to separate yourself from reality in order to accept most of what's going on. But the fact that it was made at such a low budget says, I guess, a lot. I don't know how much, but I was just surprised about it.
So would you say that the it was less of a dark comedy and more of a gray undead comedy? Like, instead of it being dark or white, never mind. That didn't make sense when I said it out loud. Mushrooms!
I do think that the gray matters.
That's it! See, I see all these parts and do I fit them together so they look like, you know, a picture? No, I invert everything and you put it back together. So
that's why we're a team.
Yeah. What about you? What's your applaud moment?
My applaud moment. Like, okay. Okay. So I have a woo-woo answer for my applaud moment. And you're going to have to forgive me for it, Madeline and Lydia and Jennifer, because I don't have anything that's screaming to me about my favorite thing about this film. But the feeling that I get talking about a film, especially with friends, and it's overwhelmingly satisfying. I mean, it's why we've done this podcast forever. Now, Madeline suggested this because she thought I'd like it, right? If you were to be like, Naomi, I'm taking you to this restaurant because I think you'll like it, I would not be like, I mean, it's about going into something with a grateful heart. Like, I might not like the meal I have at that restaurant. That's what going to a new restaurant will do for you. But the experience, the getting to share and to find out why and to ask what other people enjoyed or didn't enjoy, and I know we nitpick everything to death, but like, that's not the point of it. Like, we might scream, shout, kick and beg and plead and whatever throughout our film analysis, but it's the conversation that we have that I find so pleasing. So that's my applaud moment. This movie, though maybe not my favorite recording ever, reminds me about why we do this and the interaction that we get to have over it and just like goofing around with friends. I think that's what this movie was probably aiming at, but like, maybe I didn't see it that way. But like, I do feel like the conversation it inspired was a conversation worth having. And that is what I applaud about this film. There were beautiful, bright parts. Nana, the mom not being as crazy as she first appeared, the dad turning out to be like a kinder person than you are initially given. Lots of little parts that were absolute trash and I'd throw them away. Mostly Miracle Whip, who was like a sexy lamp, but without the sexy part. He was just a lamp through the entire film. You know what I mean? Which is fine.
Generic lamp. He's like a lamp that you could get anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love that. He's like the sexy lamp without the sexy.
Yeah, he's just a lamp. He could have been anything.
Yeah.
If the lamp could scream, it would have just been that much lighter on the budget.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. Heads. Like, it heads, but Hanks, but you mash the two together.
I was just trying to say a different word for Hanks so that it was apparent that he wasn't actually Tom Hanks.
Oh. Sham lamps, Jen.
No, it's ham tanks. Hom tanks.
Yeah.
Ham tanks. Ham
tonks.
Ham tonks.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So thanks for making my applaud moment for me, you guys.
Your applaud moment is exactly mine.
No.
It is. It's just all of you. Just like Sean and Maddie, I know they're not here. The applauders, even though it's like a small amount of them, like it's just like doing the podcast with a bad movie that I don't have an applaud for. My original applaud moment was not as racist as I thought it was going to be, but it was still kind of racist and I didn't want to put that in.
Yeah.
So I crossed it out and was like, I love doing this podcast with you too.
No.
And with Sean and Maddie and with Pitch and with, you know, everybody listening right now. And it's been, you know, like last year kind of ended on a bit of a bad note, like around this time. So like things have been progressively better. So just getting better and better. And I got the people with me. And plotters, you made it through November. Yay! Happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for all of you.
Oh, aww. I like that too.
That was a nice segue.
Thank you for thanking me. Thank you for being here. Applauders, now that you're hardcore into the holiday season, keep it up. Looking good.
Mm-hmm. You're smelling good, like turkey.
Yeah.
Probably need to rest a little bit.
Remember to get a little bit too much turkey, a little bit too much cranberry sauce, make you a turkey sandwich the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say thank you, The Vern, for becoming an official applauder for $1 a month.
Woo!
We are also official Patreons of Cinema Recall as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's it as far as announcements go.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, it has been a month, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The whole, like, last 3 years of a month of the last 2 hours, 3 hours that we've been here.
I forget how we end each podcast.
Until next time, this is Jen McQuaid.
And this is Naomi McQuaid.
And this is Lydia Malcolm. And this has been Shocked and Applaud. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for joining us for the conclusion of our review of Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag. We hope you've enjoyed our walkthrough, Sean Facts, as well as our shocked and applaudable moments. We'd like to thank you so much for listening and wish you a wonderful and happy Thanksgiving. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.
Yay!
Ah, gotta go hit the head.
You hit that joke on its head with a hammer like it was a nail.
Words. Maybe you could find some things that you've cut out that you could just put at the end there.
I did that for the last episode. Like, we had this whole big moment where we were talking about something. I can't remember what.
Something about Doug Jones that I had missed.
Oh, yeah, because... I don't remember exactly, but it was like in the middle, like earlier in the podcast. And then I just put it at the end. I was like, oh, I'm going to save that for Doug Jones.
Yes.